The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Father, we thank you so very much for giving us your word, your very thoughts for us to follow and to think. Open our minds through your word today that we may think your thoughts, that we may look at life and life situations the way you do. And let it make a big difference in our lives. Let it change us as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. That season has come and gone, but we're still here. Did your troubles leave with Christmas? Did your bills get paid, or do you have more bills? There's an old saying, and that actually from the dairy industry, and you know what it says, don't you? Got what? Milk. Got milk. Got troubles? How many of you have troubles? I do. Got troubles. And sometimes I have thought, oh, if I could just get away. David said that. He said, if I had wings, I would just fly away. You ever just want to fly away from your troubles? But guess what? As the old saying goes, wherever you go, there you are. Because the troubles are within us. But there is another saying that's even truer, and most importantly, and always remember that wherever you go, there's Jesus. So wherever you go, there's trouble, and wherever you go, there's Jesus. We must choose through faith who we will follow. Trouble or the Prince of Peace? And peace is not the absence of trouble. Some people think, well, if all my troubles were gone, oh, I'd be at peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of the Prince. And I'm not talking about Purple Rain either. You say, what's Purple Rain? It's a song by the audience. The what is he? The artist formerly known as? I'm talking about the Prince. The Prince of Peace. That's what peace is. That's where peace is. And therefore, my message today is simple. Jesus is our peace. Even in the midst of trouble, he is the Prince of Peace. And we're called on to focus on him, to depend on him. Not our troubles, but peace is a person. Peace is in and with the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus made us a promise, and I want you to turn with me now to the Gospel of John. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus made us a promise, and I want you to see what it is. John 16 and verse 33, we read, and this is the night when he told his disciples that there was a great crisis coming. The night he told them that he was going to be killed. Big trouble. Listen to what he told them. He says, I've told you these things. I've warned you so that you may have peace. Notice that in me, in a person named Jesus, you may have peace. As we come into 2014, peace is what God offers us. But he does not offer it by taking away our troubles and our problems. He offers peace to us in his Son.
now in 2014 and forevermore. In me you may have peace. He promises this as well. In this world, as long as you are alive, you will have trouble. Two promises. Peace in him, and in this world, you're going to have problems. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, put your faith and trust in me, for in me you will have peace. The illusion is that in the world, you can somehow find peace. You cannot. Even if all your troubles were out of sight, you would not have peace, because we're messed up in our thoughts, in our bad feelings. Peace is inside. Trouble is inside. We must choose whether we will follow the Lord Jesus inside of us through faith, or live in a world of trouble looking to outside circumstances or to our own dismay. I think I said it a few weeks ago that if you look around you, you will be dismayed. If you look inside of you, you will be discouraged. You will be depressed. But if you look up to Jesus, you will find rest, because it's in him. And we must focus on him. I think a lot of times we miss an important ingredient of faith, and that is what we focus on. If we focus on Jesus, you will find peace and his thoughts and his ways. If you focus on your problems, you will be discouraged and depressed. The prophet Isaiah is writing to the Jews, encouraging them as they see bad circumstances and trouble and war and conflict, that their peace is in Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, he is first called Wonderful Counselor. We went through that in the last few weeks. That as a king, his counsel, his plans will be accomplished. He's made plans for us. Plans not to harm us, but to bless us. He is also called Mighty God. And he is Mighty God. Why that is important is because you can have your counsel, your plans, but unless you have the might and the power to bring them about, it is futile. He's our Mighty God. And in the Hebrew, Mighty God means superhero. It means champion, one who can deliver. We have superheroes like Superman. And we learn, even as you look at Superman in comic books or in movies, and we learn that the S on his chest does not mean Superman, it means hope. And God in Christ is our hope. He is our everlasting Father, gives us more peace. This is a logical progression to peace. From Wonderful Counselor, who's planned, our Mighty God, who has the power, our hero to rescue us, and he's our everlasting Father. He is not the Father in the Trinity, but he's the Father in that God has given us to Jesus. And he is the author and finisher of our faith, just like in America, George Washington is called the father of our nation. Jesus is the father of the Christian nation. And a father loves, a father protects, and a father provides for his children. And Jesus has done that for us. And because he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, guess what? We can be at peace. We can be at rest. Because he's got plans for us, he's got the power, and he loves us as a father. Why wouldn't we rest? Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are labored, all you who are worried, all you who are anxious and troubled, and I will give you rest. What did he say to the wind and to the waves? Right? Remember that storm? The disciples were asleep, or Jesus was asleep, and they woke up. Jesus said, Jesus, there's a storm, there's trouble. They were disturbed. He says, They said, don't you care? You're laying down here asleep. And he said, oh, you have little faith. And you know what he got up and did? He said, wind, rain, waves. Shut up. Peace. Be quiet. Be still. And as he calms the raging seas without, can he not calm the raging seas within us? And he says, peace, be still. He's our peace. And the disciples were astonished. And they said, whoa, who is this that the wind and the waves obey his command? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince, the one who's in charge. Romans 8:28, we read it all the time, says, in all things work together for the good. But I believe in the Greek, it is more powerful. It is all things must. All things have to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose. They cannot disobey the Prince. For he has been given authority in heaven and earth over all things. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Over principalities and powers. So since he's got all that power and everything's got to obey him and he loves us and all of this, why can't we be at peace? I'll tell you why. Because we choose not to. And sometimes we really don't believe that he is. Jehovah means the Lord. Shalom. I greeted you at the beginning of this service with shalom. And I ask you if you knew what that means. How many of you know what shalom means? Volunteers. Peace, right? But I'm here today to tell you it means much more than peace. Much, much more than peace. Shalom in the Hebrew is not the absence of trouble. Shalom in the Hebrew, yes, means peace, but it means wholeness. Wholeness of mind. Wholeness of soul. That you are all together. You know, we'll use that term. Well, that person seems to have it all together. A Christian should walk in Christ having it all together, not from a worldly perspective, but from what is most important in the spirit, in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, they are together. People can sense there's a peace about you. They can sense something is different in the midst of turmoil. There's a wholeness. That person seems to have it together. They are not rattled. It means wholeness of mind and soul. So when the Jews greeted one another, they said shalom, and they were asking a blessing. They were saying, may you be whole. May you be blessed. Mind, body, and soul. The working definition of shalom and Jehovah shalom, the Lord of peace, and Jehovah shalom means God is my peace. The working definition, the commentary on shalom is found actually in Numbers chapter 6. Let's turn there. Numbers chapter 6. This is God's commentary, his definition of shalom. In Numbers chapter 6, and verse 22, you've read this. It is a benediction, which means a blessing. Verse 22 of Numbers 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, that is the priest, the ministry, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. This is what you are to say to them. And what we will see here, I'm going to read it and then read it again. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This is shalom. Encompassed in that word. And this blessing, this shalom, in the three verses, is a threefold repetition of the Lord's name. Notice it. Verse 24, the Lord bless you. Verse 25, the Lord. Verse 26, the Lord. A threefold repetition of the Lord's name to emphasize that all these things he's asking in the blessing is in the Lord. Jehovah Shalom. It is in the Lord. Also, you will notice in these verses, in verse 27, it says, and they shall put my name on the Israelites. Three times the Lord's name is mentioned. And then in verse 27, the goal is that your name, God's name, rather, be on the people as a blessing. For the blessing is in him. And if the Lord's name is on you, he sets you apart for blessing. He favors you. His peace is on you. And in the three verses, each verse has two blessings. And each verse is progressively longer. In the first verse, there are three Hebrew words. In the fifth verse, there are five Hebrew words. And in the third verse, there are seven. Seven, God's number of perfection. Now let's read it. This is shalom again. The Lord bless you. And he keep you. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, Isaiah said. The Lord make his face shine upon you. That means when they looked at that, they heard that it was like they are having the Messiah, they're having God, and they're in the presence of God, and God's face is just glowing and shining. You know how when you're happy to see somebody, the person just smiles and they just kind of light up? It's saying that, may God's face light up when he sees you. That he's so pleased that you're in his presence. And the peace comes by being, and all the blessings come in the presence of the Lord. David said how he longed, he thirsts to be in God's presence. And he says, and be gracious to you. God's grace, his favor, his blessing, his empowering presence, so that now you're without fear. The Lord turn his face toward you and notice in the conclusion and give you peace. As a result of all those other three verses, it ends and give you peace. Peace is a result of all those things in the Lord. That's shalom. That's Jehovah shalom. The Lord is our peace. To live in Christ is to live in peace. Throughout the New Testament, Paul says and uses the term in Christ. And we choose by faith to follow Christ. And here's how we should do that. First, we must believe on him and in him. That he is our Savior. For the first place where we need peace is with God. Sinners, unbelievers, live in fear. And their primal fear is not a mugger or a robber. But deep down inside, their primal fear is what's going to happen to me when I die. Their primal fear is a fear of God. God gives us that peace. Why? Because Jesus, Romans chapter 5, tells us that when we were God's enemies, when the wrath of God was on us, he died for us. And he reconciled us to God. In the Greek language, you know what peace, a part of that meaning means? We looked at the Hebrew. Peace in the Greek means union. Something like that wholeness that the Hebrew conveys. But it means union, union with your enemy. God gives us, through Jesus, oneness with God. For He took our wrath. And God was satisfied. And now we can stand in His presence and God smiles at us. Because He's taken all of the punishment for our sins and put it on Jesus. And then He's given us the righteousness. You know what the gospel is also called? It is also called the gospel of peace. Why? Because we have been given peace with God. And when we've been given peace with God, our soul is at rest. Choose to believe in Jesus. That's real Jehovah Shalom. That's real wholeness and blessing and favor and grace. Choose to depend on and focus on Jesus, our peace, and not on your troubles, not on our difficulties, not on our problems, not on our wounds and our hurts. Focus on Jesus. Look up to Him. It's a choice. And then follow Him. Walk with Him by thinking His thoughts after Him. And His thoughts are in the book you hold, filling your mind with the things of God, being in phase with Him, being in yoke with Him. Jesus used that analogy. He said, and I quoted it earlier, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. And the picture is two oxen who have this piece of wood that connects them around their necks or over their necks. And the picture is, and usually they would have a more experienced ox who has pulled the cart or the load for several years, and they would yoke him with a new one. And they were to follow. The new one, the inexperienced one, was to follow and be in phase with and be coordinated with the younger one. When the younger one with the old one. And when the old one, the young one would kind of go off and want to go this way, the old one knew the path. And he would get in sync and he'd be in phase. That's how we are with Jesus. We're to walk in the Spirit. And when we begin to walk off, He pricks our minds. And He brings those thoughts and His Word into our minds. And then we start thinking His thoughts and we begin to walk with Him. I hope this picture helps us. I want to go further with this because we've got to choose to focus on Him and to think His thoughts and not follow the white rabbit. What's the white rabbit? Anybody know who the white rabbit is? Anybody ever read Alice in Wonderland as a child? Anybody ever read that, right? You remember the white rabbit? The white rabbit comes along, and Alice begins to follow the white rabbit, right? Down into the rabbit hole. And she stays there, and she gets so off and so forth that she can't get out, right? Let's use today, because it has been used before, the white rabbit as a metaphor. And what is a metaphor for? What does it stand for? Anyway, a metaphor for our wrong thoughts, for our hurts and thoughts and feelings of what's happened to us in the past. Let's use the white rabbit as a metaphor for our fears about the future. How are we going to make it? Who's going to take care of us? What's going to happen to me? All of those are white rabbits because all of those are contrary to the Word of God. All of those are contrary to the way Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is walking. And when we don't walk that way and we follow the white rabbit, we are filled with anxiety and pain and we become paralyzed in our own rabbit hole. And we find it hard to get out of that rabbit hole, right? This metaphor has been used in The Matrix. Anybody ever see the movie Matrix? And Morpheus, tells Neo, you take the red pill, and you stay in Wonderland. And I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. And Neo had to make a choice of which pill to take to find freedom. Jesus has come that we may have freedom. There's another movie metaphor. Some of you have seen the movie Pacific Rim. I don't necessarily give a ministerial endorsement of any of this. But the truth is the truth. In Pacific Rim, this young lady who was harnessed with an experienced pilot of these machine called a Jaeger. And her stepdad did not want her to do this because he knew she had these fears. She had been traumatized. And yet he allowed her to do it. And they are harnessed together. And they had to move in sync with one another. Even their minds were in phase with one another. Left hemisphere and right hemisphere. And they were to move and act as one. But the white rabbit came along. And the young lady began to follow the white rabbit. And she began to think about when she was a little girl. And how one of these monsters had come after her when she was a little girl. She's standing there looking like she's like maybe 4 or 5 years old. And she's crying. And this is all in her head. And her stepdad said, don't follow the white rabbit. But she was locked into that hole. And they had to disconnect her to free her. Jesus has been down the rabbit hole, the grave. But the grave could not keep him. He rose out of the rabbit hole so that we could be free forevermore. That we don't have to follow the rabbit, but we could follow him who's conquered the rabbit hole and the rabbit. And took all of our thoughts and all of our bad feelings and all of our sins and all of our troubles. And he died and suffered for that. He said, you will know the truth. The rabbit will tell you lies. What happened to you in the past is a lie because it is not presently happening. But we can get into it where we feel it's happening now. And we begin to make decisions and react to it. And we're frozen. The future has not come yet. He is wonderful counselor. He has planned the future. He is mighty God. He says, I've overcome the world. He's your everlasting Father who loves you. He's our Prince of Peace. This is what we must believe. We must think his thoughts after him. Let's turn to one final scripture. And that's in Philippians chapter 4. He is our Prince of Peace. He is the source of our peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. Philippians chapter 4. Let us not be troubled. Jesus said, don't be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord. Don't be troubled. Rejoice. I'll say it again. He says, because we need it for emphasis. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your self-control. Let your peace be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is with you. The Prince of Peace is there. You have him. And he has you. Don't be anxious about the future, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take it to the throne of God. And the what of God? What does it say? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, transcends your past, transcends your future, and even your present, will guard your hearts. It'll be like watchmen, it'll be like soldiers who are standing guard on your heart, not letting worry and fear and anxiousness to come in, will guard your hearts. See, your hearts. What is shalom? Wholeness of heart. Union. Peace is union. Union with Christ. and guard your minds. Peace of mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, think God's thoughts after him. Thy word is truth. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace, the Lord of peace, the Prince of peace, will be with you. Amen. I want you to listen to something. My conclusion today is in a song. It is a song called, guess what? Jehovah Shalom. And I want you to listen to the words, and I want you to read the words, if you will, from the screen. And I just want you to kind of relax and hear what I've preached sung. It was St. Augustine who said, to sing is to pray twice. So hopefully today, as you hear this song, you will have had a sermon preached twice.
Renews me, oh,
Take